Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on MyNorthwest.com, the live video feed on 710Sports.com, and of course, the venerable TheOutdoorLine.com with blogs, videos, podcasts, and pictures of Joseph Hibernicus now. All new.
Why do I have so many papers on my desk?
It's almost like we're in Olympia.
What are we doing here?
We had to cut down.
All I do is fish and hunt. I don't know about
politics.
Oh,
no, you need to be involved in politics, Joe. This is why right here. Unfortunately, we have to go there.
We had to cut down a redwood forest and build our own outdoor line pulp mill to get all the paper printed to kind of walk through what we're going to talk through today in today's show. Welcome to the show. How you doing this morning, Robbo?
I'm doing great, man.
What do you got sitting over there? What is all that stuff?
A little smoked trout from Lake Roosevelt and Rufus Woods last week.
And generally,
thanks for doing that, too, by the way.
Generally, you say smoked trout. Hold up one piece of that for the people on the camera, because you see the oil kind of running out of it. Generally, with trout, you don't see that, dude.
No.
That Roosevelt Rufus stuff is just...
Thanks for doing that. Yeah.
Hey, that's absolutely
it's
amazing.
It's good, man. There. Callie and I have been tearing into it.
Oh, yeah.
It's tasty.
Yeah, it's legit.
I see
for
some
sure.
fettuccine coming up off the grill at the end of the household tonight. So.
Yeah, that won't be a bad program at all. But taste that before you start distributing it throughout the
Oh, don't worry. There'll be some taste testing going on. We've got some bass sampling going on here on one of the lakes coming up next weekend. The Wahfish.
Yeah.
What is it? The winter,
the Wahfish winter
classic.
The Wahfish winter classic.
It used to be the freeze your bass off classic.
Yeah,
or something.
I like that better.
Yeah. And of course, we had Jordan Doucette, who used to run Wahfish, and now it's a great guy named Eric Erstad that runs this, and it's a pretty cool deal. And the usual suspects are, you know, our sponsoring this, you know, Limit Out Marine, Three Rivers Marine, a whole bunch of other folks, and that takes place in 2 weeks. So Eric's going to jump in middle of this hour to talk about that event. But, dude, I mean, I tell you what, we've almost driven a stake of holiday holly through the heart of January here. We got one more week, and we're out of this month. But, you know, this gives guys something to do because we're about down to steelheading and duck hunting here right now.
Yeah, we're getting down to the bottom of the barrel here with blackmouth being closed and whatnot. Yeah. You're going to have some news about that here in a little bit. But Eric's going to jump on, talk about the bass tournament coming up next weekend over on Lake Washington, which is super fun. That's at 6:25. 7 o'clock, Ron Garner's going to jump on from Puget Sound Anglers and talk to us and our listeners about this sea of bills coming through in Olympia that basically would just neuter WDFW and hunters and anglers in the state of Washington, at least in our opinion. I mean, there's varying opinions on this, but Ron's going to give us a shout here at 7 o'clock and kind of run over some of the stuff that's coming up in Olympia and rearing its ugly head down in Olympia. There's some nasty stuff coming along here that, and I think hunters are on the chopping block with this stuff.
Oh, there's no question.
First and foremost, if you're a hunter, you have to stay tuned to this. I know Ron's from Puget Sound Anglers, but keep in the back of your mind, they do not want you in the woods, and that's part of the plan here. 7 o'clock, 7:25, George Harris, the Seattle Boat Show's coming up here right around the corner. We're going to be down there, and George is the patriarch of the Seattle Boat Show. He's going to jump on and talk to us about all the great...
He's actually the president of the Northwest Marine Trade
President
Association.
NMTA and NSA and CCA and the PSA.
I'm looking forward to dogs on deck. I'm going to haul little fat Watson down there and prance him around. I'm going to do one lap around the boat show, and then Watson will be asleep for four days.
Bring the trampoline.
Wear
him out. Yeah. He has his own. It's funny. He's got his own little exercise trampoline that he sits out there and he gets his little workout in.
Bounces and chews on his antlers.
Yeah, I'd have to get Libby off the couch to get her down to the boat show, and I don't think that's going to happen.
So. Bailey's an old hand at the Seattle Boat Show, so she'll definitely be there. But you know, and here's the thing. You know, a lot of manufacturers. It's been a difficult inventory and human resources time frame for a lot of these guys. And but everything I heard from the Portland Boat Show was overall attendance down? Yeah, but they sold everything on the floor.
Oh, I bet.
And that's huge because, you know, again, and I'm going to say this again and again and again until people start listening, but if you think you're going to waltz into the store the day before Memorial Day and get everything you need to get your freaking boat ready and all your gear and stuff like that, uh-uh. You got to start looking at it. I am still looking for a water pump for an F300 Yamaha. I mean, just an impeller, right? I mean, all that stuff is difficult to find. So go in there and get your boat ready now.
Yeah, so I dropped some parts off yesterday at Bickford Ford at their trailer
this
division over there.
Yeah.
And Maggie. Came out, and I was like, oh, wow, how long have you guys been doing this? What do you do? Can you do trailer lights? They do everything there. I'm like, oh, sweet, I'm going to drop my boat off once I'm done with the shrimp season here. And she's like, oh, great. And I was like, yeah, what about, like, do you got space for trailers, boat trailers? She's like, oh, yeah, but you better, I mean, we got space right now, but give it a month or so and we'll be totally booked up. And I was like, well, we'll get the word out to the fishermen. We do a radio show, The Outdoor Line. And she's like, oh. She goes,
You're
Joey Piper.
She goes, I love that show. She's like, I don't fish or hunt, but I listen to 710.
We're in here talking about it every Saturday.
But she goes, my favorite part is the funny commercials, Dr. Love.
Dr. Love.
Oh, that Dr. Love.
But so, hey, Bickford has a great, you know,
they
trailer.
Do.
I mean, they can do anything up there, and they're fixing your trailer.
Right.
So
well,
that's
and,
another.
And so, by the way, I mean, we're wiring up a boat for Alaska right now, and I've mentioned this. Tom, you brought it up, so you kind of opened the can of worms here. And so we're shopping Blue Seas. The whole Blue Seas catalog is going into this boat.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked about this before. You better get in there right now, because I'm buying it all up.
Mm-hmm.
And so is everybody else. If you wait till spring, there's just nothing. And a lot of this stuff is back ordered, and who knows when it's going to come in. It's sitting in containers. Some of the ships are going turning around and going home, you know?
It's on the train tracks in L.A.
I mean, it's just – it's a tough deal.
Well, you mentioned lights the other day, like just
and
boat
so
lights.
I got word that one of the largest manufacturers of boat – the running lights, your side lights, your anchor lights, all the running lights just decided, we're done. We can't do this anymore. Supply chain broke the company, and they're going to shut down. So you got a couple months supply coming through the supply chain here, and it's over. So I'm running right after the show, and I'm picking up extra running lights as well because they go out once in a while. We have to change out some running lights. And, of course, we get Coast Guard inspected at the beginning of summer. They pick through everything, check all the lights and everything. If you got a light out, well, you better have one on hand. Well, there's no lights around. You're not running. So it's just the supply chain thing. It's
dude,
deep.
I can't order my gear yet as far as rods and reels and stuff like that. It's crazy. But, again, get your boat in, get it now. And Joey and I have been dialing in the old Sea Beast, getting it ready. You know, and don't look now, but we're like 5 weeks away from that CQ opener. Dude, I cannot wait. Yeah. I am so looking forward to that. It's just and it's because have you heard of the white hot Chinookness that's going on the south tip of Vancouver Island?
Oh, for sure.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
the
Trevor's
Gulf
Boyowski.
Islands.
And, yeah. Oh, yeah, all those guys, they're just hammering them.
Yeah.
Up there. So it should be good. Also, you know, we've just got a little bit of time left in the steelhead season here in the North Sound,
dude.
And it's been good. There's been some
really
wild
good.
Fish being caught, believe it or not, and released on basically all the North Sound rivers. There was an absolute toad caught on one of the North Sound rivers a few days ago, something like 28 pounds caught and released. They had a little, one of those little rubber oversized trout nets that they landed it with, and these guys were jacked up. When I saw the picture, I thought, oh, that's got to be the Skeena or something.
No,
it was right there in our backyard. Mm-hmm. So
just a red band color. But
just awesome.
But then that little net made that fish look like steelheadosaurus.
I mean,
dude.
just incredible.
Yeah.
And there's still some hatchery steelhead coming into Tokel and Reeder and Wallace. I talk to Tom Sakamoto over through his marine. I call him just about every week on Friday and get the update from Tom over there because they get all the reports in there through his marine. And he's like, yeah, they're still getting them.
But
I mean, Tokel's been kicking out fresh hatchery steelheads.
But the thing of it is, the backstory on that is this guy that got this fish is fairly new into steelhead.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
He's really new.
Yeah.
And
just
he just
in the
caught
last
like
couple of years.
The fish of a lifetime.
For yeah.
Sure.
The thing
we
all, you know, all
we
us
do.
Idiots
oh, yeah.
lay down at night. This is what we dream about.
He's ruined. I feel bad for him.
Yeah, it's over.
Actually, I'm going to have Dr. Love call him and get
you
him.
You should.
There you go.
Yeah,
get him
up a little
counseling.
Bit.
And I mean, you know, yeah. I know he's taking a second mortgage out on the house right now. I guarantee it's coming just to buy some extra.
He'll be
raft.
A full blown alcoholic in a couple
have,
years.
You got to have a raft and a drift boat and a jet boat.
Oh,
then, you know.
Well, look at you. You were down at Wooldridge yesterday helping Lael Paul Johnson pick out a
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, you got to have all this stuff.
Poor LPJ, he's ruined as well. We should get him on.
Well, so, and it's nice seeing those big, big wild fish being caught on a lot of these rivers now, early.
And the Skagit, too. It's been kicking them out up there. So well, nice early fish.
I am busting out my drift boat tomorrow.
I don't blame you, dude.
And I'm going to go float.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And then, you know, another piece of good steelhead news is they're opening up the Nooksack again because they got enough fish to the Kendall Hatchery rack. And so that's wonderful as well. So all the early indications that we're getting with regard to the abundance of this year's steelhead stocks are pretty solid. Now, that's not going to help our, you know, supposed Skagit opportunity, the guys out on the peninsula. But then, you know, stick around for the Northwest Outdoor Report because we got some pretty good news with regard to what's going on the peninsula as well.
It's been fine.
Yeah,
it's been decent.
Yep. So, all right, we need a little tiny shred of good salmon news. And stay tuned. Give us 90 seconds. First off, pop open that text toy. That's 206-421-3776. That's powered by Yamaha Outboards. Give us a call, 866-979-3776. That is the Wildcraft Duckworth Reverse Chine Hotline. Hey, these things happen, dude. They obviously do.
Burgundy. Okay, Ron, let's take us to a break.
We'll read it if it's on the teleprompter. Yes, that's right.
Come on.
All right, we're going to pop out here. Give us 90 seconds. We're going to give you some good salmon news here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
From the shining shores of Puget Sound to your radio, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line. That is Rob Ensley, Joey Pyburn to my right. I'm Tom Nelson. Matt Nelson running the board this morning. Thanks for tuning in. Pour a cup and let's get through this January. You know what though? It's divisionals this weekend. We got to have our picks by the end of the, you know, who's going to come out of this weekend.
I got a basketball tournament all weekend. Oh, yeah. So there's not going to be much football in my future here, but that's fine.
Well,
exciting weekend.
So we did have a conference call, the Puget Sound and, you know, Rec Fish Advisory Group, and a little kind of couple of things of good news did come out of that call. And WDFW, for one thing, is considering an opening, a marine area 10 again, probably towards the end of February. And what that's going to do is there's probably going to be a lot less sublegals, particularly the unclipped sublegals, which we're pretty close to right now. And so I think we're going to get, you know, another decent opportunity out of that fishery. And so that's good news. But the real good news was the fact that the state and the co-managers have entered into binding federal arbitration with regard to hammering out a new Puget Sound Chinook Resource Management Plan. And that's a really, really fancy way of saying we're going to get somewhere with regard to
getting our own permit.
Yes. Yeah. Which will give us a little better shake. Now, with the permit means, you know, it's a way to take fish under the ESA listing that we're all kind of struggling under right now. So that's good news coming into North of Falcon. If they can hammer that thing out and get that done, then we got a better shake. That and the fact that I continually hear, although I haven't seen numbers yet, of really, really solid forecasts across the board for this year. And I'm talking about the Columbia. I'm talking about Puget Sound stocks. I'm talking about coastal stocks. I'm even hearing good stuff about the Elwha getting on its feet. And it all helps, man. It definitely all helps. And, you know, my question is, in all of this, though, is what, at the end of the day, was the effect of that Marine Area 7 draconian closure last year where we had 7 days in Area 7? Where did all those fish go? You know, ostensibly that closure was to get the Stilly back on its feet. But in talking to Sean Yannity late last year, they didn't really not see that manifest itself in a big bump of fish, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we may need to do other things on the Stilly. The Stilly's continue to be that restrictive stock. But, you know, there are better things to come this year, and I, for one, just can't wait. That CQ deal, I mean, we're all three of us are fired up about that.
Yeah, it's one of those things that we talk about, like, it comes up at least once a day. Yeah. Like, CQ, well, are you excited about CQ?
Who brings
I'm
that
excited.
Up? Yeah. I wonder who brings that. It's a great fishery, though. There's
big
fish
so
out
much
there.
Fun. That is just such a fun thing to be able to go do in March.
Yeah.
It's beautiful out there. There's, you know, the fishing is fantastic.
And you had big fish. You had fish
big
up
fish.
In the high teens
yeah.
with
yeah.
regularity out there. And
I think
some of the other guys did, too.
With the numbers we saw this summer and all the numbers of blackmouth we're seeing in 10, I'll bet you CQ is going to be loaded.
Well, look at what's going on right across
the
border.
Right across.
Over in Victoria, our buddies across the border, Zboyovsky.
Casey Willis went over
Anchovy,
there. Yep.
all those guys are railing them on the other side of the border. And a lot of those fish are coming out of here. So it should be excellent fishing. I'm more excited about the steelhead fishing the remainder of the season.
Dude.
We've just got through the end of the month for both waterfowl and steelhead here on the local front. So you better get out there and enjoy some of this. And we've got fairly decent weather here.
That's just
for the remainder of the season as well.
We've had this high water malaise. And Joey and I were out running the boat on the Sound yesterday. And there's just this you know, brown water cast over most of the Sound. And so once that clears through the rivers, and looking at this 10-day forecast around here, it's more conducive to steelhead than it is to duck hunting. I mean, it's flat calm,
oh, yeah.
It's flat calm and foggy right now. And so you got dropping, clearing streams that, and dude, you got 10 days left in this season. That's it. That's all. So
yeah, it's going to be tough on the waterfowl front. I did notice though, driving home yesterday from being down on the boat, tons of ducks all in the fields.
Yeah.
But not a lot flying. They're all just sitting in the field. So if you don't have access to a field to hunt, it's tough. There's, you know, with the weather being so calm and nice, they're just going to be chilling in the fields, munching.
The other thing is the Sea Run Cuddy thing in the South Sound is right now. And the Resident Silver program is going good down there. We've got to get David, we got to reach out to David Dietrich here and get him going. I know he's been terrorizing those fish in the South Sound. And then the dolly thing on the Upper Skagit, Leopold Johnson has been up there swinging up dollies. And he had a cranker dolly up there the other day, like in the 8-9 pound range, that they swung up on one of the spey rods. You know, I've talked about that in the past. Just a fun deal up there. The scenery is just completely ridiculous.
It's biblical.
And there's
probably
a ton
not
of
a lot
dollies.
Of pressure.
No, there's not a lot of pressure. No. We've talked about it for years here, and nobody does it. It's a long drive. You know, it's a good poke to get up there, but it's well worth it. Even if you just touch a couple of fish, the scenery, the river, everything up there,
it's just good to get out.
It's just good to get out. That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, that one hurts.
Yeah.
There's no question.
Something
about
to do there. I looked up the weather on the east side. Cold over there, but I think they're dealing with some fog on the east side too, from what I hear. So you waterfowl hunters headed that way, you might get a fog report before you head over.
But I really don't remember seeing a 7-day stretch in January without a single raindrop until next Saturday.
So, I think that's a lie.
Oh, it is 100%. Yeah. I mean, but the deal is if you're looking at the Skagit, you know, or any of these streams, I mean, the longer you got a dry stretch, you know, the better off you're going to be. But even for the Sky and the Snoqualmie, it's
the Forks area too. I talked to Bill Meyer and Mike Savadlo out there yesterday. They were both on the river together. Finally, I called Bill. He's like right over there, and then I call Mike, and he's right over there, and they're talking to me. And I can hear Bill in the background, you know, and they're catching wild fish.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. You know, it's not like red hot, but they're doing just fine out there. And by the way, we lost one of our good guide friends out there.
Oh, Wendell.
Way too soon. Carl Wendell passed away. Just broke my heart, man. 52 years old, went way too soon. So our condolences go out to his family out there in the Forks area, and his dad and everybody out there, all the guides that were good friends with him. We lost a good one with Carl. So.
Yeah, God bless that family. No question about it. All right, log on to wahfish.com. That's the website of our next guest. Look at this event. 2 weeks from today, the Wahfish Winter Classic out of Gene Coulon Park. Good old Eric Erstad joining us next here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the BOMAC Tech Line. BOMAC has all the gear for all your techniques, and SMI Shellfish gear is simply the best. BOMAC, we catch big fish.
Welcome to the Tech Line here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. So check this out. The Wahfish Winter Classic. Last year, it took a bag of 17.5 pounds to bring this event home. And, you know, it's something to do. It's 2 weeks from today, and here to tell us all about it is Eric Erstad of Wahfish. .com. Good morning, Eric. Thanks.
Morning, Eric.
Morning, man.
Morning. How's it going, guys?
Oh, good. Are you back in your boat down the launch right now, getting ready to head out and do a little scouting? What are you doing, man?
Yeah, I know. I just loaded up the boat with all the electronics and heading south to the storage unit to go grab the boat after this.
Nice. So before we get to the Wahfish Winter Classic, how fast does your boat go? Because that's the most impressive thing about these bass boats. They boogie, dude.
Oh, They sure do. I actually just got in my new 921 Phoenix this year, and the first portion of the break in, I got about 78. They tell us that it breaks in after the break in, you get an extra mile or two, but I was already white knuckling it all the way down the lake. So.
Holy cow! Well, yeah, okay. Now you got us all fired up here. Let's talk about the Wahfish Winter Classic. Is that next weekend over there at Gene Coulon Park? Tell us about the tournament, buddy.
Yeah, so it's on. Yeah, so it's next Saturday, January 29th. We launch at about 7:30 in the morning. I'll be there around 6 o'clock to do the registration. We usually get a really good turnout. It's a pretty fun event, especially for us Bass guys, where the bass fishing is a bit slower during the winter. So it's nice to have an event to get all the guys together and kind of see some familiar faces, go catch some bass. And usually it takes a pretty good bag of bass to win it. In the wintertime, we get a lot of the numbers go down, but the size and quality goes up. So it's a really fun event. And you're right, yeah, last year took about 17.5 pounds, and the guy who won it by 0.04 pounds and took home a little over $2,000, which was a pretty sweet payout. And huge thanks to all the sponsors that helped kind of build up that entry fee, along with the 35 to 40 boats we had last year.
Yeah, totally cool. Now talk about how you approach these fish, because they're not up in the shallows like they are in the summer. These fish are really deep and you're fishing really slow to target these big. Is it mostly smallies, or are you getting largemouth in this too? Talk about how you approach catching these fish this time of year, buddy.
Yeah, so this time of year, you're right on. The fish tend to go deep with the lower water temperatures. You're typically targeting in that 45 to 65 range. A lot of heavy leads, about 3/4 ounce football heads, making long casts and just dragging the bait slowly back on the bottom, trying to imitate crawfish, sculpin, and a handful of bottom fish to kind of get these lethargic bass to fire up.
Are you finding these bass on your electronics? Are you marking them that deep, or you just kind of have general areas that you guys always hit? How are you approaching that?
Yeah, so you can kind of pick them out. You can see them when they're sitting a little bit above the bottom. It's really funny. If you drop a camera on them, you'll actually see them with their belly in the mud. And so a handful of times, you'll just see a little indentation on the bottom of the water, and that's typically a bass. This time of year, they get pretty stacked up because there's really few places that provide quality structure that deep in our lakes. And so you'll find a handful of them on the electronics, and it's just, you hit the nail on the head. It is a slow grind, dragging at about 0.1 to 0.5 miles an hour for all day until one of them decides to fire up and rip the rod out of your hand.
And so if those fish are stacked up, I can just picture them just kind of laying there on the bottom. You get one going, do you get a little bite going, or is it like you get one out of that group, kind of shuts the rest down, and you got to go find another spot?
Hopefully it's the former. When I was out there last weekend, we kind of had a couple of schools fire up, and you'd get 3, 4, 5 right away, and then the school would kind of quiet down. This time of year, it's typically smallmouths, and the smallmouths definitely tend to school up and fire as they're the more aggressive of the species. But this tournament 2 years ago, the same guy, Eric McCarthy and Travis Bogart, have won the tournament in back-to-back years, and the prior year he was fishing for smallmouth and caught a 7.5 pound largemouth.
Jeez.
And only weighed like 4 or 5 fish and won.
Jeez, that's a huge bass.
No doubt.
It was really cool. It was awesome. Everyone was super excited. And with this tournament, we like to throw a little extra spin on it, and we have a weird fish category as an option pot. And you'll see all sorts of strange fish come to the weigh-in that never normally get weighed in.
Catfish.
We've had guys that, yeah, catfish, squawfish, cutthroat.
Walleye.
One guy actually caught the state record size bullhead the week before the practice, and he didn't even know because we never catch them that big, but he caught like a 1 pound bullhead.
We're talking with Eric Ulstad this morning. Wahfish Winter Bass Classic is next weekend and on Lake Washington out of Gene Coulon Park. And it's fascinating because Lake Washington is a completely different animal in the wintertime. You've got, due to the low temperatures and the lack of sunlight, you've got reduced weed growth. And so a lot of areas that wouldn't normally fish do indeed fish. I realize you got to go deep, but when you're running deep, I mean – what are you running worm jigs down there? What's going on down there when you're running that deep? What's your go-to bait?
Yeah. So that time of year, the fish definitely pull off the receding grass there, and they're sitting on a lot of either deep wood or deep offshore rock structure. And so you're wanting to use a lot of a lot of baits that you can easily get through really rocky areas as you're doing a longer drag instead of the classic cast and retrieve. And so most of what we use is a 3/4 ounce to 1 ounce football head jig with either a crawfish imitating trailer like a twin tail grub or a swim bait imitating trailer like a Kytex swim bait to imitate either the sculpin or the crawfish on the bottom that deep. And this time of year, it's pretty one dimensional. You're either throwing a really heavy drop shot, you're throwing that heavy football head. Sometimes you can get away with a really heavy tube, but a lot of the times if you're throwing anything light this time of year, you're spending a lot of time waiting for your bait to hit the bottom.
What about scent? I mean, I remember as a kid, my grandfather had
that
these.
That is a hot button.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a hot button issue. That's that's one that there's a pretty big divide on the bass fishing community, whether or not scent plays a big role. I've seen it firsthand where I was the guy not throwing scent in the boat and my buddy is catching them like 5-1 to me. And so this time of year, I think when they're really deep, they really spend a lot of time analyzing the bait and anything that like either puts off a little scent cloud or some sort of like odor cloud or allows them to hold that bait just a little bit longer because you can't really feel them when they're that deep when they pick it up, I think makes a really big difference personally.
Well, a little crawdad scent might trigger a bite, whereas, I mean, they're so lethargic, you just got to trigger mm-hmm. some sort of response. If they get a little whiff of that, they might swing around and, oh, yeah, I need to eat that, you know.
Listen, if I ever become a bass fisherman, trust me. There's going to be bait on
there.
There's going to be bait on there.
Yes. All right, so, Eric, how do folks get involved in this, man? I heard you say you're going to be signing folks up at the ramp. They need to jump onto wafish.com, but then what's it take? Can guys show up the day of the event? They need to sign up early? How's it work?
Yeah, so this is an open event. So we have a bunch of clubs throughout the state, but this was one that we allow kind of anyone and everyone who's has a bass boat that's able to operate in safe conditions. They show up at the launch at the Jean Coulon launch. Entry fee is $120 per team. And then we additionally have a $20 big fish option and a $20 weird fish option that pay out independently. And so anyone in Washington, as long as they have a valid fishing license, can show up. And as long as they have a boat to fish out of, they're good to go.
How big a field did you have last year, just roughly?
Yeah, so last year we had, I think, 34 boats.
That's cool.
And that was without great weather. So yeah. I'm hoping this year we keep the numbers keep ticking up. We've got more and more excitement about the bass fishing community. And so we're hoping to keep turning that number up into the 40s.
Where do folks get signed up, buddy? They get online and get signed up online?
So we are actually doing all of it at the ramp. Launch itself.
Okay.
I'll show up for a check-in and registration early in the morning. We'll take care of all of our aquatic invasive species and boat registration elements, go through a boaters meeting, and then get the guys out there and just have them start catching fish.
All right. So guys can find more info about this at wafish.com online. And then I guess get signed up next weekend at the boat launch. Cool, man. Well, thanks for jumping on, and go get them.
Yeah.
You need to text us some photos here because we need to live vicariously through you here this morning. You guys catch some tanker smallies out there in the wintertime doing this. I see pictures from Nick Berto and Madden Tobeck and the guys. I mean, some cranker smallies in that 5-plus mm-hmm. pound range come out of there. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Exactly, and I think this event in particular, we'll see some really good ones, and we'll get some great pictures out to you. Mm-hmm. And I just want to take a sec to thank some of the sponsors.
Absolutely.
That helped put this event together: Limit Out Marine, Three Rivers Marine, G Loomis Shimano Gear Aid, Mercury Marine, and then this event we tried to focus on getting a handful of our local bait guys into the mix and get some of their product out there. So KLR Baits, DEA Custom Baits, and a handful of others that keep rolling in. We'll have a big raffle at the end of the tournament and get a bunch of that gear out to the masses and just have some guys get excited about some of the new stuff that's been popping up around the area.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Well, thanks for all you do. More information, log on to wafish.com. It's next Saturday, Jean Coulon Park, 1201 Lake Washington Boulevard, North in Renton. Once again, that's Eric Ulstad of wafish.com. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate it. Thanks for promoting fishing. This is a really cool event and a time of year that can use some activity, and you're providing just that.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for everything you do. Really appreciate the time, and keep them hooked.
Go get them, buddy.
Thanks, Eric.
All right. All right. Enjoy the weekend.
Pretty cool deal, man. I mean, this time of year, there's not a whole heck of a lot going on. And, you know, next Saturday, you're going to have maybe 40 bass boats working Lake Washington and you know.
Zinging around, you know, 80 miles an hour.
I've never gone that fast on the water, dude. I swear.
I was with Birdo one time. I think we were going 76 miles an hour. And I fished with Mark Antonio, too. He's like, here, put this on. I'm like, it's a helmet.
Helmet. Three point harness.
I want to say it was 81 miles an hour. Dude. We were flying. And I remember with Birdo, we were over on, I think we were on Moses Lake. We were going so fast, and I had my sunglasses, and I just couldn't see anything. Yeah. I looked over him like, hopefully he can see, because I can't see a damn thing.
Windshield wipers for the bugs on your sunglasses
goodness,
is
just
crazy.
Hauling ass. It was so fun.
The fastest I've ever been on the water is actually my old Weldcraft, that Evinrude-powered boat that's for sale right now at Bayside Marine. And that thing will do 54. That's the fastest I've ever gone on the water, and there are a couple used boats there at Bayside Marine too, so go check that out.
I swung by and checked that thing out. It is beautiful,
dude. They've done some really cool stuff. You know, brand new power on it, and not that much money.
It looks brand new, man.
28 foot boat,
perfect.
Yeah, no question about it. Coming up next, Ray Marine picks of the week here for the 22nd day of 2022 here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the Outdoor Line Picks of the Week, presented by Raymarine Electronics. Don't just go fishing, go hunting underwater. Raymarine, simply superior.
Whether your passion's freshwater, inshore, or offshore coastal fishing, Raymarine products are engineered to deliver the very best in visual navigation information. Go check them all out at raymarine.com.
Still getting some great steelhead reports here from our local North Sound Rivers. You got through the end of the month. Chase metalheads here locally, but definitely get out there. Still some good reports of hatchery steelhead coming in at Reeder, Wallace, and especially Tocal Creek. Tocal Creek just had a hell of a run over there of hatchery steelhead and some huge wild fish. Heard of somewhere in the neighborhood of 28 pounds being released on one of the North Sound Rivers.
Dude, giant.
Ring that thing up as a 30 pounder.
Well, I mean, it was a pig. When I saw the picture, I had to look like, is that the Skeena? I mean, the background. No, it was right here in our backyard. And those fish, you know, they used to be caught with some regularity at least in the North Sound River.
Yep.
So it's just
so
nice.
We used to get them when we were kids.
Oh,
man. You know,
just late tankers.
February fish.
For sure.
Just crankers.
And so anyway, pretty exciting news. Also heard of some wild fish coming out of the upper Skykomish this last week. So pretty exciting. Get out there. And also the Forks area rivers are cranking out some steelhead right now. They're just dropping in. Yesterday, day before, they were just kind of dropping into shape. Really nice weather forecast all week out there. You're going to see some good fishing in that next
week. We had that nice bump.
Yep.
And then it's cold. It's getting cold out now, clear weather. These rivers are going to drop in. It's prime time.
Yeah, for sure. So that's what's going on, at least on the steelhead front. Waterfowl, again, you got through January 30th. This is kind of the end of the run here for you waterfowl hunters. We've got some bonus goose rounds later in February, early March, different parts of the state, especially for snow geese. But for you duck hunters, you know, and the crappy thing is we've got a little bit of calm weather here
rest
of the season.
Yeah, and the season of kind of a calm stretch.
Really, we got the weather that we've wanted. This season,
100%.
I mean, this has been a great duck season across the board. On the east side, on the west side, there's been a lot of ducks coming down, a lot of new duck hunters born here, you know, this winter. So, anyway, you got through the end of the month to get it done here.
It was so weird because we're all laying in layout blinds on December 1st over there.
65
you know,
degrees.
60 degrees in those things, like slapping grasshoppers off. It's just completely weird.
And then Christmas, we get the weather we want here. We get a big snowstorm.
Yep.
Man, it's just been lights out.
So, did that snow goose flight, Joey, manifest itself like everybody thought it would? I mean,
Okay. Yeah, definitely. Well, you saw all the geese when I was running around out there in the bay below the South Fork and North Fork of the Skagit. 20,000 snow geese just hanging out on the bay. I mean, and now we're starting to see them moving back north in big flights of them. So there was a ton of snow geese.
Well, what's crazy, and we've talked about this on the show, that flight of snow geese comes from Wrangel Island in Russia, okay? And they've historically just gone into the Fraser River Valley and mostly the Skagit, you know, and bounced back and forth in between there. Well, now
they're bouncing over the mountains,
I don't know. They figured out some pathway across the mountains into eastern Washington, and that's where the feed bag is.
They sniffed out that alfalfa.
They did. They sniffed out all the grain and everything over there and the winter wheat especially, you know, somewhere in the last 10 years, and now there's, I don't even know how many, probably 30, 40,000 birds over there now. So that's a big deal on the east side.
And I don't think the farmers are fired up about
that.
They
are not.
They don't like it at all.
Snow geese are harder on the crops than the honkers.
Yeah. Bad deal.
Well, yeah, well, when 10,000 of them mm-hmm. land in your field, that's 10,000 little chomping yeah. alligator mouths mowing okay. down that grass.
Especially the winter weed. They just mow that yep. winter weed down. So.
So we're working on the boat yesterday, and I got Bailey in the boat yesterday, and Joey shows up and goes, I got a treat for Bailey, right? And I go, what is it? And he opens up this bag. They're goose feet. So he took the feet off the honkers, right, and clipped the – he goes, listen, you got to clip the toenails off them, but then I put them in my dehydrator, right? And I hand
– The dogs love them.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
And they're super good for them.
And the look that Bailey gave me when she – oh, what's this? I don't know what it is. And started chewing on it. Yeah.
Tom thought they were then, for him, right?
No, I did. I thought it was like, you know, goosefoot jerky, right?
Yeah, something yeah. for Tom so, to gnaw.
What I wasn't ready for was what was going to happen after those got digested and Bailey was laying down.
Yeah, we don't need
house.
To go there, Tom.
Holy
Thank you. Thanks
smokes.
For taking this right into the dumpster there.
Also, that's my job,
Rufus
dude.
Woods, yeah. still happening on the east side. Austin Moser still roping some nice big triploids over there. Saw a couple of kokanee come off Lake Roosevelt last couple of days. But mm-hmm. really, the rainbow fishing in Roosevelt has been kind of the bright spot there. I mean, they're just – that lake is just full, the reservoir, all the way up to the top end. Another friend said is, you know, way up at the end of the lake, some friends of his took the boat out, took the family out, and just parked it on the beach and fished power bait off the beach and roped a big trout up there.
And the limit's 5 per person.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on Rufus, you get 2, but you can go up to Roosevelt, you get 5 trout, and that's what you have over there that's smoked. They're delicious.
Yeah.
Dude,
great eating.
I'm amazed at the quality of those rainbow. Because, you know, you say smoked trout to somebody from Western Washington, they're, yeah, okay, that's right, you know? The key is don't oversmoke them. But that smoke generator deal, that cold smoke sucker, oh, boy, that is absolutely my deal. Text us up this morning, 206-421-3776. Good morning, guys. If you have time on the show, maybe you can explain the North of Falcon calendar and whether it's worth attending these meetings and when they're held. Thanks, and have a good show. That's from the 206. Basically, again, all of the North of Falcon meetings are a Zoom call away this year. They're all going to be held remotely, and I think – that's what we're going to see for the bulk of these salmon season setting process. So it's great to get yourself educated, but just jump on wdfw.wa.gov, go to the North of Falcon page, and you'll be able to find all those meetings. From the 206, again, after the Everett launch is finished getting dredged, and thank goodness for the Port of Everett doing all that, would it be possible to go north from the launch and head out towards Kameno instead of going around the southern end of the jetty? Yeah, that's mm-hmm. kind of a dirty Tulalip Bay trick, right? Is heading out that part of the channel is to go north rather than the traditional, but
it's going to be a high tide deal. Even with them dredging the main channel, that north channel that shoots out, they're not going to dredge that,
right?
And you know, we run out there, we sneak out there, you know,
but we grew up there,
yeah. And you got to know where that thing is. There's some deadheads in there. I wouldn't recommend doing it unless you have a smaller boat and you check that thing out on a lower tide. And then you'll see kind of where everything is. Put a track on there where the channel is, and then run out there on a high tide. But
so
there's some motor eater
stumps in there that one of them's above water, one of them and probably more than one that we don't want to know about. But here's the thing: I would not recommend going out the north channel of the Everett Harbor unless you got 8 feet of water and it's flooding. Okay, other than that, that is an absolute no-go zone. Don't do it. You know, and moving back into, you know, our expectations for the rest of the Marine Area 10 season, we touched on this just a little bit. The thing of it is we're due to the fact we opened up early and had a couple flat calm days. A lot of those impacts got eaten up, but again, there's going to be a call next week about this. And I expect to see something happen the end of February. So with regard to reopening,
you mentioned Marine Area 7, you know, we had a 7-day mm-hmm. season in there last year. Basically, I mean, the brunt of that was to get fish back into the Stillaguamish River.
Yep.
The Stilly needs help. Stilly's a mess.
Yep.
Everything that's gone on there is
talking
just
about
torn that run apart.
And
Puget
Sound River with less than 300 wild spawners in it.
Yes.
It needs
and so the, you know, the reason why Area 7 was closed down for that basically the whole season was to try to get fish back into the Stilly. And it sounds like it wasn't a big success there. So do you see any changes coming out of this? I mean, you see it's getting more days back in the San Juan Islands. I mean, 7 days is completely ridiculous. And no winter blackmouth season. Done.
Right. So here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a raising abundance that's going to float everybody's boat, right? Now that we've seen a couple good years of rebounded oceanic productivity and we're starting to see these runs come up, you know, I mean, every agency – under forecasts rebuilding runs and over forecasts declining runs. Now that they've built some of these more positive parameters into the run model, we're going to probably see more fish, which is going to give us more days in the San Juans. That's what I see coming. On the Stille front itself, yeah, we've definitely got some work to do. But, you know, with some work that the Stille tribe's done up there, I think we're definitely going to see something come back. Now, we also need some help in Olympia. And right now, there is a disgusting set of bills. I mean, this whole situation just absolutely stinks on ice, okay? So we're going to have Ron Garner jump in on the next segment of this, but before he does, I just kind of want to pop out our take on this, and here's where I'm coming from. Everybody's heard of the controversy on the commission, you know, with regard to the Blue Mountain herd down there, the closing of the Spring Bear, without any biological basis for any of these moves. Recently, a commissioner resigned under a lot of public pressure, but this is. These bills that have recently been introduced are a solution looking for a problem. So, hey, Olympia provided the problem. They put two dysfunctional members on the commission and have not filled other seats.
Three seats from Eastern Washington remain unfilled. Why is the governor not filling those?
Yeah.
I wonder. Yeah. They're from Eastern Washington. Maybe they might not agree with, I mean, you can fill in the blanks yourself.
Sure.
They might not agree with, you know, with his strategy and his policies and whatnot. And so let's just break the commission.
Yeah.
And we can get rid of the commission and put in.
It's an easy way to call it dysfunctional.
Dysfunctional.
This doesn't work.
No, this doesn't work.
We better take control of this.
I made sure that this isn't going to work. Now let's put in our own system.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the dark ages again. I mean, referendum 45, I don't remember what year it was. I want to call it 1995. We now have a commission. That where we have a chance.
We have a voice.
We have a voice. Hunters and anglers have a voice. Well, guess what? Some of these dirty bills that are being proposed right now are going to take our voice away and go back to where we were before. We've already been here before.
Yeah.
History is going to repeat
itself
again.
This has been asked and answered by the elector.
The one user group that's at the top of the hit list right now on this are the hunters.
Yep.
And I guarantee you, if any of this stuff goes through, hunting is on the chopping block.
They will have their
foot
on our neck.
Yes, yes. And we and the hunting community here in Washington will be neutered, and we will not have a say. And all of this will go through the governor's office. And they want to say they want to get science back in. They want to get their science back into this, not the accepted wildlife management science that we've used for years to manage these herds, which provides some opportunity for hunters and anglers who pay the bills. That's
that,
all going to go away.
That science isn't just based on our biologists here in Washington, they are talking to biologists all over the country, sharing information on how they manage their elk herds, their deer herds, their bears, their cougars.
And
these guys understand the science.
And we have predators. We don't want to get rid of the predators. You and I hunt around cougars all the time. We're fine with cougars.
Yeah.
It's fine. If we remove one cougar from the population, oh, my God, it's the end of the world. It's not. We have to manage the predators, too, to have healthy elk herds and healthy deer herds that we can all use. We can do a little bit of hunting here and there and have some success. But they know that if we overload these systems with predators, it's going to break the backs of the hunters, and we can get rid of hunting altogether.
And hunters' dollars support conservation, and buys land. It pays for these biologists to do studies to go out there and promote healthy deer and elk herds.
There's no question about that.
Yeah.
There's no question about any of that. So when you see these bills all hit at once in this current legislature, there's a move afoot, especially in light of the fact that the commission has been sabotaged by Olympia. Okay, and JT Austin appointing commissioners that got no business. You appoint a zookeeper and you appoint a predator advocate. And what do you think is going to happen? Okay, great. You know, now we got a commission that has problems, but they've not appointed new commissioners in anticipation of these bills. Mm-hmm. So it's a real simple calculus for me. If you see supposed fishing groups come out in support of these bills, that's a litmus test. They don't have your best interest at heart as hunters and anglers of the state of Washington. So I tell you what, we're going to pop out here for a quick break. Ron Garner, Puget Sound Anglers. The call to action on this, guys, is to jump onto PugetSoundAnglers.org and fill out the voter voice. Educate yourself. Because we're in the process of getting a lot of our access to our natural resources taken from us. These bills are not in the best interest of the citizens of the state of Washington. And Ron Garner of Puget Sound Anglers is going to tell us all about it next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.